on the agenda today, we have Universal Asset Signing. Cool. So this is episode 99. We are live. We're with Rito. We're in full effect here. We've got the PowerPoint up, which is the first PowerPoint that we've ever had here.
So in a show a while ago, Will, your boy, threw out a concept of an ERC that he wanted marketplaces to adopt and roll with. And he asked the community if they knew anybody who ran a marketplace, ran a major marketplace, who'd be willing to integrate it. So your boy Rito Rhymes came out with a search for an opportunity. I found an entity, a Rareable Circle, that has the opportunity of taking the ERC and pushing it out there. So it's an opportunity to get it in motion, but we have to do a whole proposal process, and it's gone on for 6 months, Will and I collaborating together on this. This presentation is a recap of the whole shebang, including telling you what the ERC is about and what the proposal process has been like, and ultimately where we're going to go with the second attempt for the proposal process, because the first attempt was not successful, but a lot has been learned. So you're going to be in the comprehensive journey for all of that, all right? So this ERC, we call it Universal Asset Signing, or UAS for short. It is a system that allows for an NFT to be listed for gas free with no transaction, just by signing in a marketplace. The mechanism at heart is an approve for all with signature function. It extends and attaches to newly minted versions of ERC 721, 1155, and even 20 tokens. So basically it goes inside the ecosystem of NFTs and tokens that already exist today. Kind of like how royalties attach to it. This is for Ethereum, but you know, anyone else that's using these standards, it can also be applicable. But this is an Ethereum-centered system. No back doors. We'll get into more of that later, how there's a similar system out there that's very, very limited, that creates a huge problem. So it requires certain infrastructure to use it. It's not simply you plug the ERC into the smart contract and it works. No, you got to have infrastructure around it to use it. And there is a network effect, both for the value proposition to get the maximum impact, as well as to even get the minimum amount of utility. It's not useful if only one person, only one entity is using it and no one else is using it. So here is a concept that we will introduce. Call it the mint moat effect. Essentially, everybody knows this from experience, I'm sure. When you mint a token at a certain marketplace, you're able to list that token for free at that marketplace. So each additional marketplace that you did not mint that token at anywhere else, you want to list that asset at those outside marketplaces, it's going to cost you some gas for every single asset that you list. So essentially, a moat is created around the bigger marketplaces with the bigger audiences for you to mint your token there and to sell it there. So think of the moat as a barrier that protects a business from competition, protects the marketplace. And the mint moat is where the gas fees, the transaction required to list it, acts as a barrier that discourages sellers from listing their assets on different marketplaces, especially the smaller ones. Here's a little visual of how this, you could see this for yourself. So we have OpenSea in the center. Everyone knows OpenSea. And on the right side, we have a bunch of other marketplaces. And on the bottom, we have a bunch of tiny marketplaces, medium or tiny, whatever. When you mint a new NFT, boom, a moat is created around OpenSea. I minted it at OpenSea. Now there's a moat because I have, you know, gas free. I'm able to list it for $0. The buyer visibility, I don't know the exact number, so we're just going theoretical here. It's a big number. And inside the moat, the gas fee cost is nothing.
Is nothing.
Obviously, minting the token is going to cost you, but listing the token is going to be free. So what happens when we want more visibility? We want to get this asset, this NFT, on other marketplaces, get more buyers to see it. So we go to Rareable. That's going to cost you $10 for that gas fee. You get more visibility. You know, there's some overlap between the audience, but the fact that you're on a new marketplace with a certain amount of assets, you may have increased exposure. Going to cost you $10 though, or whatever the gas fee cost for that transaction. Just an estimate, $10. Get another marketplace on board. You get even greater visibility, but it's going to cost you more. It's another gas fee, another transaction, but these are big marketplaces. It might be worth it. So what happens when we get the little guy on board? A tiny marketplace. So it has the same gas fee that's adding up right now. It's not much bigger in terms of a buyer visibility, and it costs a lot.
And if you want to really make the most out of these small marketplaces, you're going to have to get a bunch of them to list your asset. That's going to be very expensive. So that basically, it's not very viable going to the tiny marketplaces. But in general, it's helping all of the bigger ones and shutting out the little guy. You get reduced marketplace diversity, asset diversity. You got limited amounts of marketplaces you can go to. Only certain assets are going to be discovered or seem worthwhile. And it also disincentivizes competitive pricing. If the big marketplaces know you're going to mint here and you're probably going to sell here because it's expensive to go anywhere else. There's less of a reason for them to offer, you know, competitive features that are going to benefit the sellers. Or the creators, because you're stuck here no matter what, unless you want to spend a lot of money and cut into your margins, which you can do, but good luck with that. So how does universal asset signing come into play? It democratizes the marketplace, the whole landscape for NFTs, by allowing all sorts of players to come on board without needing to have a huge built-in audience or massive resources, promotes diversity and innovation, because it allows the opportunity for other niche marketplaces to come on board and to grow. It allows greater seller flexibility. You can choose which marketplace you want to go to and you're not stuck there. You can go to different marketplaces to have your asset listed, and it's not going to cost you a penny. It's just going to cost you your blood and signature. Just a signature. You sign your asset and you're done. Quick and painless. You don't have to wait for the transaction to close. So it has a lot of benefits, and it does mitigate the higher, potentially the seller, making their prices a bit higher to compensate for the gas fees. That's going to be offset by not paying gas fees.
So is cost the only reason for the mint mode effect?
Yeah. Cost affects every single participant in the market. So if you're going to sell, it's not just your cost. If you're going to have a picture of a cat and you're going to sell it on, say, Rarible. You never used Rarible. You're going to sell it on Rarible, right? The threat is that anybody who wants to buy it will also need to spend $10 on Rarible. And everybody they buy it from will need to spend $10 on Rarible. It's a perpetual effect. Everybody needs to spend the $10 entry fee to come to this party. So it's like going to a party with a $10 cover charge when there's a party next door with a $0 cover charge.
Can give you $0.
There's a big difference between $0 and 1 cent. You know what the difference is? Finding an on-ramp. Yeah, you can trade things without having any ether. So you can buy something without ether. You can sell it without ether. You never had ether in your account ever. You just have tokens coming in and out.
Interesting. And you can also mint without ether on certain marketplaces as well.
That's right. And there's a lot more people using credit cards than using Ether. So this really does open the marketplace from people that have Ether, who are nerds, to people that don't have Ether, which are normal people. So it really opens it up.
So the tokens that you're talking about, the zero-cost mints, zero-cost transfers.
You're right. But Ruben, can you clarify? I've heard Lazy Mint used a couple different ways. In some ways,
yeah,
they're
sure.
Not really minting at all.
That's exactly right. So essentially, you'll go to a marketplace and say, hey, I'm going to make some tokens on this thing, right? And you go to the marketplace, wherever it is, and you'll make some tokens. And those tokens will be listed on that marketplace. But there will actually be no B transactions that are going to happen. And when the person buys it on that marketplace, at that point, purchaser pays the relevant gas and it sort of gets put into a token. And so there's actually, I'm gonna leave it there. Does that make sense?
It does. And this is what I call an offer to sell or offer to mint or something. It's very unfortunate that people are using the word lazy mint for this because it also means other things too. But yes, this is an entirely not on-chain representation of a thing.
It's not really minting it. That's just creating the metadata that gets ready to be minted once the buyer comes on board to mint it, right?
Yeah, and it's going to get worse is when they start selling these damn tokens without even them getting on the blockchain yet.
Okay. And so in order to implement that, I presume that you would have some sort of account on each of these marketplaces. You might be able to add like a DID of the individual so you can sort of refer that individual as the original seller, et cetera, rather than using your own account for all the transactions. Is this a private service? Well, actually, first, did I get that correct?
No. So this would be a feature built into the token itself. So if you've got, this would either be a wrapped token or new tokens can implement it directly. We're using a signature that is under the control of the token holder.
And to clarify, essentially this ERC that goes inside the token, the approve for all, the signature function, it is not a standalone by itself.
So would this require the relevant marketplaces to have the same aforementioned infrastructure?
Yeah, and that's what this proposal is getting into. This is our attempt to get it out there. Other things that are going to be useful for taking older classic tokens that can be wrapped into these new versions of ERC 721 or 1155 that have UAS enabled inside of it so that you can take a Bored Ape Yacht Club token and have it have the benefit of being able to list it in multiple marketplaces. That's also going to make it less of a niche that only next generation tokens have this feature. It allows all tokens to participate. And because Ethereum is the de facto liquidity leader, having bridging mechanisms like Polygon Bridge or others will allow access from other blockchains to come on board to Ethereum for greater market access and visibility. For the token holders, they get greater and more diversified NFT visibility from the buyers without additional costs because they can list it anywhere. Speed and efficiency for listing assets. You're not waiting around for a transaction to close, you're just signing. It also creates competitive pricing. You know, they're going to have better margins without spending gas fees and whatnot. For the smaller marketplaces, it levels the playing field, allowing them to participate in the market and compete with the larger ones.
Hey, I'll compete.
Now, we've been talking about the little guy and the token holders, but this is not a detriment to the bigger marketplaces as well. Even though they do have the moat advantage, the moat advantage is also mutual for the other big marketplaces. They all have a big moat, and their moats do hurt each other. Will, would you like to dive into backdoors? Because that was something that you pointed out for OpenSea, a significant issue with backdoors and why that alternative solution is not great. So why don't you share that with us?
Right. So some of the marketplaces, if you mint a token on the marketplace, they obviously want you to use their marketplace to list it. And so what they will do is they will allow list their own marketplace. Also, OpenSea has a backdoor where they can just take everybody's tokens that are minted on their platform. They used to have that. I don't know if it's still active, but I'm the one who reported that. You can read the blog post. We disclosed it earlier on this show. It surprises some people. It doesn't surprise some people. But, you know, those are backdoors. We want to have less backdoors. You know, we want to have less creators telling you which marketplaces you're allowed to use. If a project, let's say you make a, you know, jelly token. You make a pictures of jelly beans, right? And you sell them. And you think, okay, well, wouldn't it be nice if instead of having everybody pay the first time they list an OpenSea, I'll just allow list OpenSea by myself. So you put it in there. Okay, great. What if OpenSea has a version 2? How's that going to work? Are you going to have permission to add a second marketplace in there? Well, that's one option. You could leave yourself a back door that I promise I'll only use to put in a second marketplace. Okay, but that backdoor can be used for other things, as I've demonstrated, where OpenSea can just take anybody's tokens. Okay, what if you don't leave yourself a backdoor? What if you just, I'm just gonna do it this one time, just for OpenSea, you know, just this one version of OpenSea, and I'll throw away the key. Well, guess what? OpenSea has a new version in the past couple of years. They've had a couple of versions in the past couple of years. And so if you had locked in this one contract, it doesn't even matter because they've got a new contract. And then the worst case is, what if you lock in a smart contract, but it has its own security vulnerability? Well, that means all of your customers are now affected and you can't turn it off. But in this situation, we're taking the signature of the token holder. The token holder, I believe, is the one who decides where they want their tokens to work. And so that's the way that this works. No backdoors required.
For the token holder, when you make a signature like this for like a gasless approval, is the signature aimed at a recipient or is it like anyone can use it?
Great question. It's going to be an approval for all. I think the main use case here is going to be to approve a marketplace. And so the signature is actionable only to that marketplace. So if you pick up the signature, you can't use it for anything else other than getting my tokens approved to that marketplace.
So there is like a, there is a recipient, and that recipient would be like the marketplace itself. Like you can't use it for other marketplaces.
Yep.
Ruben, you have a question?
The outside-in network effect is a hard one to push. If you have Rarible on side, that's a really strong flagship. And it sounds like what you guys are doing allows for greater interoperability, and in particular, greater interoperability for smaller marketplaces, which I think is a laudable goal, if you can pull it off, for sure.
Stay tuned, because it gets more complicated. Because Rarible is not on board, not fully. This is where it gets complicated, that we're going to dive into. The circle. Rarible entities. There's Rarible. Everybody knows Rarible. There's the marketplace, and there's the engineering team, of course. And there is what is called the Rari protocol, formerly the Rarible protocol. It is the repository for NFTs that powers Rarible. It is literally the system behind it for generating cross-chain minting, as well as listing assets. It's the engine that drives the marketplace. So then there's the Rari DAO. Token holders of a native coin, Rari token, the Rari DAO, and the Rari Foundation. These are hand-in-glove entities that were created by Rarible, but they're designed to work together. Essentially, the DAO is intended to govern the open source protocol, the RARI protocol, so that all sorts of marketplaces can use the protocol, and the DAO will make decisions on how it works, who comes on board, to have its own ecosystem inside of usage of the protocol. And the foundation is essentially the legal entity and a team of executors who the DAO controls. They're intended to be fully autonomous and separate from Rarible, but Rarible wanted to create them because it had a vision for a use of the protocol, wanted to get it out there, but it made it separate so that it doesn't need to impede on Rarible's business objectives. So what is the RARI protocol? It is an open source tool set. Specifically, it is a repository on GitHub for working with NFTs on multiple blockchains, compatibility with Ethereum, Solana, Polygon, Tezos, Immutable X, Flow. It has everything needed to power a marketplace for minting, listing, and selling, and it comes with an indexer and aggregate order book. You can power an entire marketplace using this open source system. And titans like Ubisoft, and I believe Mattel as well, are listed as users of the RARI protocol. This has been the challenge for us. So even though these are intended to be separate entities, we've come in at a transitional period where this repository, the RARI protocol, created by Rarible, intended to be governed by the DAO and Foundation, is still under Rarible's control.
This exact same thing is what happened with Ethereum. They're like, oh, we have this totally neutral project called ERCs. And I was like, great, I want that neutral project. Here's our ERC-721, ready to pass it. Where's the community? And they're like, oh, all core devs has to vote on it. I'm like, no, you said this is a community project. And they're like, well, we don't have a process for the community to do voting. I'm like, guess what? We're going to make one now. That's in scope for me because I'm going to get this done no matter what. And so with ERC-721, we had created something called a two-week review. It was stolen from Apple, from Swift Project. But again, this is not like a very specific thing. This is actually a very common problem in open source projects. How do you cut the umbilical cord? So we've done it once. We can do it again.
How much did you get paid for ERC-721, Will?
My mom said it should be 1 penny per token. But still haven't got the pennies.
He also co-authored ERC-165, which nobody knows about, but it's kind of like the plumbing for Ethereum. It essentially enables smart contracts to communicate with one another. His two ERCs that he has done have been incredibly significant, and he's done them for free. A lot of other people have made, you know, billions and billions of dollars off of his foundations. It'd be nice for him to get paid something. So another thing for our positions and needs, we want limited liability for what we agree to do. We don't want to get caught up and embroiled in, you know, regulations coming up. You know, we want to be clear and cut so we don't have an umbilical cord for this that's going to pull us in. We also don't want to overcommit ourselves to ambiguous or overly large scopes that are too big to reasonably manage. We don't want our rewards to be contingent on things outside of our control. That's including creating the ERC. We don't want the level of adoption or its implementation, its success, to be the deciding factor of whether money is paid. No. You build the ERC, we have other things in place, but the ERC is created. That is its own deliverable that gets paid upon completion. So RARI, DAO, and Foundation, their interests, their positions and needs, they have a treasury of somewhat millions of dollars. They want to invest their treasury wisely on proposals, especially ones favoring long-term stability. And then there's Rarible, who created the RARI DAO and Foundation and protocol. So they're a business. They don't make money, they die. They want to make money, grow, and further their legacy of industry leadership because they've been around for a while. But, you know, the transition process is still in play. So now we will get into the post-mortem of the first proposal that we pitched. So what did we do? We positioned a proposal that centered on Rarible as the primary stakeholder, the primary beneficiary, because of one, their leadership position, and two, the long-term marketplace benefits that they would receive personally as a business for reducing their moat and having others come on board. And three, the protocol is still theirs during this really ambiguous transition period over governance. So it was very complicated considering how we would even pitch around the protocol. even pitched to the DAO when they don't control the repository. So the elements, we asked for $50,000 to create the ERC with advisory services around it. Will's, have some calls, see how it's doing, how is it being implemented, integration and whatnot. We also reached out to the Rarible engineering team because they manage the proto, they built it and manage it. We discussed how integration of universal asset signing would look like going into the protocol. We made a non-committal pursuit of additional partnerships after its creation. We also included a peripheral PR campaign to promote UAS and also give, Will some mainstream attention. We secured delegates. We secured the people that we needed in order to make a vote go forward. So we had everything in place to push it forward. We also met with the co-founder and engineering team to discuss the protocol and whatnot. So this is all the essence of what we established in the initial proposal. So we asked for money. We had the votes that we needed. We planned for integration. We focused on Rarible integrating and adopting it and leading the adoption of it and getting inspiring others to come on board and being the first use case. Rarible was the center of this proposal. And we spent 6 months and had one revision on this proposal. And again, this is the postmortem. So this, okay, in case you're wondering, it's dead. Okay, so the outcome. Everyone loved the ERC. Everybody loved universal asset signing. The delegates liked it. Rarible and foundation leadership saw it as positive. Nobody was ever like, no, this is horrible. Don't have this. More so questions about how practical it's going to be to further adoption. But otherwise, everybody pretty much universally saw the value of it. Just had, questions and concerns about how do we get to the network effect, the inflection point where it's going to add value. Unfortunately, Rarible would not commit to deploying it on their marketplace unless two other tier one marketplaces also came on board at the same time. This was specifically stated by Alex, who is the co-founder and I believe the chief strategy officer of Rarible. And this may have been for a variety of reasons. We don't know their exact back-end process, but it is going to cost resources to deploy the ERC on their front end. He said it would take a couple months and they have other things on their roadmap. So without two other marketplaces on board, which would add, utility, because it doesn't work if only they adopt it, they had trouble prioritizing. The transition period left a lot of open-ended questions for who was responsible for what. And funding was also required for protocol integration. That was also unclear at first. Again, transition period, a lot of questions. So, based on this, the voters, they were not thrilled that Rarible would not commit to this, to its deployment, and the fact that the proposal was centered around Rarible's participation. Insights, people generally thought the $50K was acceptable. Finance, that's reasonable. He's a world-class ERC creator whose two ERCs have been catalysts for major ecosystems worth multi-billion dollars. Rarible's requirements for two other marketplaces to come on board was not feasible for our operation. Unless we got really lucky, having us negotiating with two other major marketplaces to create the ERC, that's a tall order. We were here for 6 months negotiating with one marketplace and their circle. And the opportunity is much better aligned with the RARI Foundation and the DAO, who controls the RARI protocol, having them and their ecosystem be at the center of the proposal.
These are knowledge bombs. This is a great presentation because you don't normally get into these business considerations, the game theory, the sales to the first customers.
So death happens, original proposal, post-mortem. It is gone. Rarible will no longer be at the center of the proposal, but we will rise again. The Phoenix. Time for round two, an even stronger proposal. Some things that I've discussed with Will, interesting to get community feedback and whatnot. So second possible approach. We position the DAO / foundation and the 4,000 marketplaces using the protocol as the proposal's central beneficiaries, not Rarible. And we align the adoption of UAS with the foundation's mission, which is to increase adoption and utility of the Rarible protocol itself. We want to make the roadmap interoperable with other roadmaps. They have, protocol, very big thing. They can do a whole lot of things. We're not telling them that our roadmap is now your main roadmap. Throw away anything else you thought you were doing. You're doing this now. No. We may consider this to be a roadmap pathway, that this is a roadmap that is compatible with adoption with the protocol in general, but they can still honor other roadmap pathways that are separate from this. That's what we may consider this. As a part of this, we're also going to have to offer some suggestions for the DAO and Foundation to improve. So because the Foundation and the DAO and the protocol is in this odd transitional state, we may offer suggestions, very specific suggestions, for how they can improve their brand foundation of the RARI protocol in its post-transfer state, post-transfer from Rarible, so that it can aid in adoption and not confuse people and obstruct adoption. And let's get into the how. A UAS network that will offer to interconnect its ecosystem of 4,000 marketplaces with NFTs that allow gasless listings across its network of marketplaces. You'll be able to mint NFTs, sell NFTs. You have an order book and an indexer. It also comes with a UAS network that everyone in our network using it can list their tokens for free in all of our networked marketplaces, having that be a key offering. And we're going to write out a long-term roadmap of the infrastructure, the partner and auxiliary tools that can maximize this ERC's value potential as it scales. That's going to increase the value of UAS, and that's going to benefit everyone inside the Rarible Protocol's network using UAS. They're going to benefit from that. So it's important that we don't just consolidate UAS inside the protocol, but have it be something that is a key benefit of using the protocol, but you can participate outside of it, and the protocol ecosystem will benefit from that. So a roadmap of adoption will align with the DAO's mission and duty to add value to its stakeholders. Shirley Dieter made a blog where they're considering making a bridge for Ethereum. We want to propose that the Foundation leverage these partnerships so that they can have, you know, wrapping and bridging mechanisms created with their partners. You know, if there are already partners with them, have them participate in this. That's something that the DAO can do. We vote. We like this ERC. We want it integrated. The roadmap makes sense. It's not clear how we're going to do each thing until adoption is further. Once milestones are met, the Foundation will make proposals on how to proceed at that milestone. How do we get to the next step? So we have them commit to that. So the proposal is not just laying there barren. The proposal is committed to by the Foundation to be acted upon in the long term, according to certain milestones. So this is technically kind of out of scope for just the ERC, but because they're in this transitional phase in limbo, adding this is going to help improve the UAS's chances for adoption and get things on smoother. We may suggest a new dedicated website for the RARI protocol. Right now, it's rarible.org, and it is littered with Rarible branding because Rarible initially created it. They initially got the partners on board. So this is a completely different phase of the protocol. And if they don't change that, if they don't rebrand the RARI protocol and they leave it exactly the same, that's going to hurt them and confuse people. It would behoove us to make suggestions for their foundation, their brand foundation, and also having on their front page promoting the UAS network. So we want to have the documentation, the developer documentation, include UAS. We want to have their website have UAS network on the front page. We want people to know about it, not just something that you have to dig around to find. We want it to be thrown in people's faces because this is a significant value add. This isn't something like, oh, that's kind of nice to have. No, this is significant. This is worth putting on the front page. This is a significant feature to include that does align with their mission and does offer significant value to those who want to participate in this network. We may behoove us to build out the environment of the repo to make it accessible to non-Rarible engineers so that others can come in to participate. And they may even add some features that support UAS or just support the ecosystem in general, which will enhance the value of the ecosystem and of Rarible Protocol's network, which will enhance the use case of players using UAS. So even if it's not related to universal asset signing, having as strong a possible RARI protocol is going to benefit adoption of UAS. So making the GitHub repository more accessible so that others in the future don't have the same challenges that Will and I have faced, and so that others can come on board and just make proposals for what to implement without them needing to actually have an entire engineering team come on board and implement it themselves. That's like a huge barrier to what's possible for them. So that it would behoove us to propose that, to strengthen the foundation's foundation in the DApp. Once it's done, once it's ready, payment comes out. I will also like to offer my UX and product management vision to ensure that the website, that the branding, that the communication strategy for universal asset signing and the marketplace in general, the protocol in general, we would offer the opportunity for the DAO and Foundation to propose additional support and advisory services from us down the line. They have the roadmap ready. We're not going to commit to everything right now in that roadmap, but we're offering to be available. They want to make a proposal in the future, or they want to ask us to make proposals in the future. We can have that listed for sale.
The scope. I like how you have taken a customer first approach of understanding, you know, what it is that's on their roadmap. You know, honestly, this is how you get a job at these type of places. The mastery that you've demonstrated of what it is that they want versus how to get a thing aligned with what it is that they're trying to do. That's the type of people that foundations hire. So I don't know if that's something you're looking for, but there's various roles and you might even have to push yourself into the role. But you know, that's the best type of person, because foundations are complicated. DAOs are complicated. DAOs with foundations are more complicated. That's just the way that water works in large bodies of water. If you connect the two large bodies of water, if they're not connected, you're like, oh, here's a large body of water. Here's a large body of water. But as soon as you draw a little stream, the water takes over and it grows on its own. Because water wants to flow. Here, same thing. We've got the foundation. We got the foundation on the one side, and we've got the protocol on the other side, and they're not connected. And if we could just push through one thing, whether it's UAS or anything, then that just opens the floodgate of anything that they want to achieve. And they know that. They know that they've got a DAO, they've got a foundation, and just achieving one thing with a team, with some experience, and a lot of push is really valuable to them. Thanks so much. Take it easy. Catch you soon.
Peace.
Oh,